My name is Austin. I am one of the pastors here at Trinity. I'm so excited and thankful that you are here, whether you are visiting, as Mike said, or whether this is the place that you call home, whether you're joining us online. Our prayer, my prayer, as a staff, as a church, that you experience God's palpable love and you walk away different, just different. And so we just pray that you would engage with us and see God's word come alive. The reality is, I was thinking about as I was preparing this message, as I talk to, I get to talk to a lot of students, a lot of people that are going through premarital counseling, but also just people that want to talk about things, and a lot of it tends to be with relationships, and these relationships that people talk, it always ends to come back to around this faithfulness that we need to have with each other, faithfulness to have to ourselves and to God, and I realize that, man, faithfulness is hard. I realize that even in my marriage, faithfulness is hard. In relationship, it is hard. And that never became so clear as I was talking with my wife about this, reminiscing about what it was like when we were early married. I just got back from Chicago. That's where Ashley and I met, my wife. That's where we lived after we got married. We had incredible times, where we also had incredibly hard seasons. And I remember in that time, as we talked, I mean, I found it so easy to be faithful, to live into my vows, that it came out in just easy ways, like opening the door to the car whenever we were going somewhere, right? As being a good Southern gentleman, as my mother raised me, like to open the door as we were walking into the building, allow her to go first, you know, to doing the dishes, right? To taking out the trash when you see that it's starting to fill up. To clean the toilets, right? To super good faithfulness right there, you know, right? To cook, just the strenuous, loving act of cooking. And even to getting in the car in the morning and to see that gas tank level just down to E. I had the joy of filling it up just so that she could get on her way. Oh, it was so easy to be faithful until it wasn't, right? Until years go by and I realized that walking around the door in the car, opening it up to let her in, man, I had to walk back around then. I have to like close the door, let you in, come back in, right? To move into Connecticut and into Chicago and saying like, I got to open the door. It's 12 degrees out. I want to get in. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, right? Be a good Southern gentleman, right? Like it became, and then like the place of, oh my gosh, the trash is overflowing and it is 10:35 and we're just now noticing and it's 12 degrees again. I ain't taking it out. I'm in my PJs, right? You know? Like, or cooking and being like, can you do the dishes? And you're like, I just cooked. What have you done? Right? Getting too real here, right? Or like, the reality is you get in the car again, and you're like, oh my gosh, how hard is it to go fill it up with gas, right? Like, you get all these places and you're like, And I realize, like, that the relationship and my faithfulness becomes something hard, becomes something that I used to have so much joy in doing, but as I go further in this relationship with my wife, that my self-righteousness, my contempt, my ego is saying like, what have you done lately? It's something that I move away from the joys that I get to the chore that I have to. Anybody with me there? Anybody in that, anybody experience that? Well, that was like the reality. And the reality is that this is not just your experience or my experience. This is literally the story that we see unfold throughout history, is this relationship that the people of God, God's created humanity, that he is longing to have, it becomes not this joyous experience of God saving them, setting them free, but a chore. Man, Israel, us, the Pharisees, it lays out this story of this place and this relationship that becomes a chore. So much so, in another way to put it, is that we become, and this relationship with Jesus is no longer a relationship, but a religion. Instead of getting to, we have to. And that's where we land in Hosea. But before we like move on and kind of say like, hey, let's unearth some rocks. Let's see what's underneath here. Let's get to the root of the matter. We got to start here. The whole part of Hosea is leveraged on that God is faithful. And I feel like somebody needs to hear this morning. Needs to hear that God is faithful. That you are, you can and have been and are the most unfaithful person. But God wants to say, like, I mean, it's going to get real here in a minute. There is nothing. There's absolutely nothing that you can do that can separate you from that love. That faithful love. Like, there is nothing that you can do that will keep you from Jesus running down and pursuing his bride. There is absolutely nothing that you have done that Jesus says, I won't fight for you. That is not your sin, not your unfaithfulness, not your thoughts, your doubts, your anger, the things that you have looked at, the places that you have been, your infidelity. There is nothing. Because it's not about what you have done or left undone, but about his faithfulness to you. Someone needs to hear this. And I just, if you got to close your eyes because this is too much and it's too real, like I am, like, because I need to be in my feelings, like, God needs you to hear this. That you are mine. I will fight for you. I will woo you back from where you have been. I will remind you of whose you are. I will remind you of the promise that you made to me and that I made to you. I will show you unfailing love and compassion, and I will be faithful to you. Someone needs to hear God saying to you, the Holy Spirit speaking into your heart right now, that I love you, and you are mine. Remember who you are and whose you are. Can you join me in prayer for a second? Father, I got to stop. Because if we go so far down the line, we will forget that everything hinges on your faithfulness. That we are not good enough, we cannot do enough to deserve, to welcome, to beseech your love. And somebody may be in here saying, I have no idea why I even showed up this morning. I'm dirty, I'm unclean. I'm gonna walk into your house, God, and mess it all up. But God, I know that you wanna look them in the eyes and say, that's fine, make a mess. Come sit at the table, share a meal with me. Look into my eyes and see the places and the shame that I have taken from you. The love that I offer to you. The forgiveness that I've seen what you've done, and in my eyes are not contempt, but freedom. Father, I need to hear that. I need to start there. That before we go an inch, before we take the next step, that it's your unfailing love that starts, that carries us, and that finishes all things. So God, come, be faithful. Be faithful to us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Whew. The reality is that if we're going to take this relationship with God and make it into something that it's not, to this religion, it becomes in this place where you just have to, right? It's a place where you turn this relationship that is first a poured out of love, that you see the sacrifice, and you make it something that is a chore, right? See, Israel, that's the truth of Israel. Israel wants a powerful God that will come and fight for them, that will give them the land that is occupied by giants and by people they can't move out of the way. They want a God that is going to be there for them. But once they get in the land, they don't need him, right? They don't need him in the good. They don't need him in the good times. They only need him in the bad times. And is anybody feeling this morning? And maybe I can contextualize it a little bit more for us. Maybe like for us, is that we don't need Jesus in the good times. We need Jesus in the bad times just so that we don't go to hell. Can somebody? It's okay to talk back to me. That means I know you're with me. Come on. That maybe we've taken this place of like, we just want Jesus because ultimately at the end of the day, after everything is said and done, we look at him and say, please let me in. Right? This have to is, I want to do the bare minimum which keeps me in the house but without all the responsibilities that come with it. Like, I do not want to take out your trash. I don't want to take out my trash. I don't want to do the things that I need to do to clean up my life. And I know that's often I would say, like, man, we don't treat people that way. But I'm wondering if we treat God that way. I mean, it's a huge assumption. It's a lot to say. It's a lot to, like, be pushed out. But the gospel is offensive. If you're not offended right now, come on, stay with me. Because really, that's the reality of the church today. And you might be sitting here, whether you've known Jesus for 30 years, 40 years, or 4 months, or 4 days, or 4 hours. Right? And you come to this place of you hear a Jesus that is loving, that is sacrificing, but you come into church and you hear a story that says, I have to read my Bible every day. Because they stand up here and say, I have to. That I have to pray at every meal. If I'm a good Christian, we will pray a prayer, sing a prayer, right? I do that. But you have to do it at every meal. That I have to attend Bible study or life group because that's what they say is going to help me grow. So I have to make space for it, right? Or I have to go to Sunday school because that's what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you're none of that. And maybe you're saying, but I guess I have to come to church once a week, once a month, twice a year, just in order to stay in God's good graces. Church, that's religion. If you're just coming in and you're just checking off a box, that's what Jesus came and he told the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, says, I don't want that. Kick that to the side. What I want is you. So if you're coming here today, it's like, man, I showed up to church because it's what I had to do at 10:15 on a Sunday morning. I want you to hear Jesus like, you're missing it. You're missing it. You don't have to check off the box to keep you in your good graces, that you'll be enough. I remember the moment that this switched in my heart, and it was really recently. A new thing has happened in my life. We have a 6-year-old who now is going to kindergarten. And for those of you that are like me, that are not morning people, but maybe not like on time to everything, right? Now there's a 9 o'clock arrival, right? Like you got to get your kid there at 9 o'clock or you have to do the elementary walk of shame by showing up and be like, hey, I'm that parent. Right? And they all look at you like, sign her in. Right? Let's document that you, that parent, like, right? I did it once and it is a I don't want to do it again. So I'm always like, Ellie, right? And like you have that kid, you're like, oh my gosh, you're moving so slow. Like, oh Lord, you are 6 and you can do this yourself, but I'm putting things, you're like shoving shoes on, shoving jackets on, you're like getting out, you're like, oh, I know you need to have the responsibility of getting your stuff, but you put on the backpack, the water bottle, you put on your backpack, and I'm like, I gotta go, I have to go. We have to get out of the door because I need to be there at 9 o'clock, and then at 9:15, I need to show up at this office because Sharon is waiting for me to say, hey, finally showing up, right? Like, but like, I love you. But the reality is like, you feel that like have to. And I remember walking out the door and I've gotten all these things and I'm just like, oh, we're going to be late. I'm going to have to drive fast on Hackmatack, which Brian Wiley says never to do, right? and then my wife, have you ever had somebody who speaks, but it's not them speaking, but it's the Holy Spirit and God hitting you with his truth? She looks at me, she says, aren't you going to hug and kiss us goodbye? And I was like, babe, I have to go. And she's like, babe. See, Jesus sometimes says babe to me. goes, babe, you don't have to. You get to. And I was like, I love you, Gwen, Steven, my wife. And then I'm like, love you, bye. And then I went out. And that moment right there was God saying, like, this is what it's all about. People, Austin, you do not have to love your wife. You get to love your wife. You do not have to kiss her and hug her goodbye every morning. You get to. You do not get to hug your kids and kiss them knowing that you will see them in just a little while. You get to, because you want them to know that your love, when you are absent, is still present in their life. You absolutely do not have to do the dishes, clean the house after somebody just came in and made a mess right where you just cleaned. You get to do it again. And you don't have to take out the trash when it is overflowing. You do not have to care for your spouse when you just want to care for yourself. You get to. Is anybody with me this morning? Come on. Like, I don't have to. Greater faithfulness that God is calling to us in 2020 is not saying that I have to just in order to stay in the family. I get to respond to God's unfailing love, that is love which was experienced on the cross, that God died, that Jesus died our death that we deserved so that we might live and have life. See, greater faithfulness in that moment when you move to I get to is the moment that your relationship with God starts to flourish and grow. It is that place where love, your love for God, expands into the realm of maybe understanding just a fraction of his unconditional love for you. Maybe it's that point when you get to that place of get to, that is when you look at the face of Jesus, you come to him and say, I don't have to come to you. I get to sit at your table and eat with you. God is saying that this have to get to is he's trying to remind you to not be like the story that has been played out for thousands of years, to that it is a religion for you to check off, but is that you get to have a relationship with me. The one that made you, the one that sacrificed for you, the one that died for you, the one that has risen to life so that you might know this glorious thing called a resurrected life, not in heaven. Now, man, I think some of y'all are saying, like, I get to experience this life, but it's over there, and I'm telling you, you're missing it. It's now. You get to experience the life that is unfolding now. So how is it different? What handlebars can we give you? And we talked about it a little bit, that if you want to move this relationship from have to get to, there's a couple of places, and it's found in God's great, great word that sums up all of the law. To love God and love others. That you don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to come and check this thing off. What you get to do is read a book of Hosea. You get to come to it and read your story in it and to say, oh man, I am so unfaithful. But I look at it and his word comes alive. His Holy Spirit is speaking into my head, into my heart to say, that is your story. But I'm the one that says, I could give you up, but no, I will fight for you. I will fight for you now and always. You get to see who you are and whose you are come alive so that when your biggest question is, who am I? What's my meaning? What's my purpose? What's my value? You say, I found it there. So you don't have to pray. You get to come into the presence of God through prayer to communicate with him, the God of all creation. You get to come into his presence and say, God, wow, holy is your name. Your kingdom come in my life. God, I need these daily things, and I know you're going to provide. Let me say them to you. God, please forgive me in so many ways that I've been unfaithful. Lead me not to temptation, but deliver me from this evil that is very pressing on my heart. You don't have to pray. You get to come into the presence of the holies of holies and see a father who loves you. And also, you don't have to come to church. Sorry, Peter. You don't have to come to church. You get to. You get to when you're like, man, this is the last thing I want to do on Sunday morning, to have a Sunday morning off. I was with my friends last weekend, and their kid was sick, and I came home after going to his church, and he was like, this is nice. I was like, yes, that's nice, but is it best? You don't have to. You get to come when you're saying, I don't have anything left. I'm so dirty. I'm so tired. I just can't do it anymore. And you get to come to this place that God says, this is my number one love. This is how you will know that I am who I say I am, and how the world will know that you are loved, that I get to, you get to come in and come alongside people who, like an axe, and says, whatever need was there, that the body of Christ provided for that need. You do not have to come, you get to come. You gotta change that. And that's with God, but also with others, is you don't have to love your neighbor. You actually get to walk at your door, cross the street, or go next door and knock on their door and say, hey, like in that Alpha video, I see you all the time. Can I be with you? Will you come over? Will you share a meal? Will I know you better than I have when I've been living next to you for 10 years and I just haven't walked out my door? You don't have to, you get to. You absolutely don't have to share the gospel with your neighbors. You get to, like in that video, to see that the light of the world shine brightly in their ever-present darkness, to say that the people with no hope, and you bring it with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you see life grow. You don't have to. You get to watch the most beautiful experience ever as someone responds to the gospel, shedding years of insecurity, years of struggle and shame, years of depression, years of struggle, and just watch hope light their world. So you don't have to join them on mission. You get to. You get to go outside of your comfort zone and partner with the way God is already working. You never go before him. You are always joining him there to say, hey, I've already been doing something. Come here. Watch. Let me use you. Let me show you how you can be used to make a difference in the world. But we can make all those changes. We can also try to maybe flip. But here's the thing about Hosea. It's all bent on this faithful God with an unfaithful people. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to step on some toes this morning, and I'm okay with that because the gospel, as I said, is offensive. It comes in your face and demands you to change. Just as I can't be married to my wife and have other lovers, you absolutely cannot, in the word, you cannot have Jesus in other idols. You absolutely cannot have Jesus in other loves. You cannot, it won't work, it doesn't work that way. God doesn't want you as a roommate. He wants your relationship. He doesn't want you just sharing the bills. He wants you to commune with him, to live with him, to partner with him. There's some things in your life that you need to boot when you walk out these doors. Some of y'all need to take these things that take so much of your attention and your affection, you need to toss them. A great flip-flop revival is coming into the world, right? Because you're like, and Jesus is right here. He's about 6 inches up. Look in your eyeball, and you have no idea that he's right there. Right there. Or some of you who are like, some of you are good Christians, and you're like, I'm going to post on Facebook and Instagram, going to church this morning, right? Like you posted, but right here, you're looking at the word of God, but your face is turning to your phone, wondering how many people are liking what you just posted. Because your worth is found more in those likes than in the word of God who's come and living in flesh and says you are more than enough. Some of you need to toss a relationship that means more to you than Jesus. Or you need to put, if you're married, you need to put it in subjunction to Jesus. Maybe your families. Maybe your children. Am I stepping too hard? Some of you maybe need to take that TV, toss it. Things that spend so much time that take away from the focus and presence of God. And I'm not being legalistic here. I'm saying you need to get the things out of your way that you are more loyal and find attention and affection in than you do with Jesus. And maybe you need to get this idol of how much money you give or in your bank account and toss that idea. We need to be less like the Pharisees and more like the poor widow that gave two little coins. And God said, that's what I want. And maybe. Maybe you need to chuck your political affiliation. Or maybe. I'll just leave that one right there over the side and I'll come over here. Change space. Maybe you need to open up, or maybe you need to open up in your calendar and your idol's in there is like, I got so many things on that. I got this meeting, at this meeting, at this meeting, at this meeting, at this meeting. Things are so full that you have no time for Jesus. Maybe you need to open up your calendar and start deleting things just to make room for Jesus. Maybe you need to write the ship of your calendar that says, when I'm making my plans, that Jesus and all the thing that he's calling to me gets first place and then everything else. Am I stepping too hard? Let's go. The reality is that things have to move out of the way in order for you to get to this place of getting to love Jesus. But you might say, oh, Austin, it's so convicting. It's so good. But I've heard this message before. I've responded to it. How do I know I will not mess it up again? And I'll take the words from my favorite Spider-Man, Miles Morales, who says at the end, when this exact same quote happens to the Spider-Man who's messed up so many times, who's supposed to be the hero, that's supposed to get everything right, and he says to him, you won't. It's a leap of faith. God's not asking you to be perfect. He's asking you to be faithful. You don't have to. You absolutely unabashed get to respond to his never-ending and to his reckless love. Pray with me.